I'm going to do something I did in the first service, which is a little bit different than the notes that I had planned. I'll try to get through the notes, but really I want to begin with kind of the last thing here. Let's see if we can get to the last one. All right, and yeah, here we go. And I want to just talk about, this is prospering God's way. God wants us to prosper. He wants you to prosper in every possible way. He wants your relationships to prosper. He wants your body, I think, to prosper. I believe that. I believe he wants your finances to prosper. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. I mean, that's what he told Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, be fruitful and multiply. And of course, we normally think in terms of, well, that means just have a bunch of kids. And it has that part to it, but it applies to every part. He wants there to be multiplication within all of our lives. Every part of our lives. But the truth is, when it specifically comes to finances, a lot of us doubt that. And in fact, as we consider finances, this is where a lot of us find ourselves right here. And I want you to read with me Matthew chapter 11 on the screen. Let's read. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and care. Let's stop right there. Stop right there. And inject your finances. Would you, I mean, to yourself, I don't need to know. Would you say, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about my finances right there. Weary and heavy laden or heavy burdened. Let's continue. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Is easy to bear. Amen. Amen. That applies to your finances right there. That thing right there applies to your finances. With so many of us, our finances, it's labor. And I don't just mean we're working. I mean, it's laborious. It is like a rock on our back that never lessens up the intensity. It seems like, well, I'm getting forward, and then you fall back. You see a little breakthrough, and then things break out. I mean, it's just, you never get to a point of where you feel like, God, I'm resting. I'm doing this. I'm really resting with my finances. I can say, Lord, you're taking care of me. You're teaching me. I'm finding rest for my soul. My yoke really is easy. And that yoke, of course, that's the oxen yoke. That two oxen would be put under, and he says, okay, I have a yoke, and I'm going to be on one side of that yoke, and you're going to be on the other side of that yoke. It's easy, though. It's really easy. And yet with a lot of our finances, it's not. It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's like we just never get there. And yet as you look at the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Be bountiful. You know, it's God's will that you be bountiful. It's God's will that you be fruitful. John 15, he says, you bring your Father in heaven great glory by producing much good fruit. God wants you to be fruitful. Genesis 1 and 2, be fruitful. Jesus said, John 15, be fruitful. The parable of the silver bags, the talents of $1,000, $2,000, and $5,000 of silver. He said, I want you to be bountiful. I want you to reproduce these things. I want to see multiplication. He says, go and make disciples. It's be fruitful and multiply at every part of your life. Every part of your life. And so as I was considering that, I was thinking about, I was reading through Genesis. And you know, you read through Genesis and you read the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And honestly, I read those stories for years and years. And I think, well, you know, those are important stories because they ground our faith in history. And these are guys that walked in faith. And so that's it. But then I felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me, said, no. It's more than they walked in faith. Here's the thing. They are examples of what kingdom life is. You want to know what life on earth as it is in heaven is like? Look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. On earth as it is in heaven, be fruitful and multiply. Bounty at every place. Look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because you look at their life, and their life is more than just examples for us, a people of faith. He's saying, this is what it looks like to be bountiful, to be fruitful on earth. Now look, let's don't get, some misconception. They had hard times. It was difficult, and these were not necessarily completely pure guys. You read the stories, and they did some stuff that was very questionable at times. But you also see guys that were completely focused and dedicated on the Lord. So as you look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it says that God blessed their hand at almost everything they did. In fact, he blessed Isaac. One year it says Isaac planted and he got a 100-fold return on his crop. Come on, give me that. I mean, what is that? 100-fold. He was blessed so much. Abimelech said, listen, you can't live here anymore. You came to live with us for a little bit. You got to get out of here. You're too big for us now. Move on. That's what Laban told Jacob, his son-in-law. Look, you've got to leave. You've been blessed way too much. These guys were blessed incredibly. I want to look, I'm just rambling. I'm not really rambling, okay? I don't know what rambling is. I'm going, but it's not on your notes, okay, is what I'm saying. It's just that Stephanie and I have been talking about this stuff, okay, a little bit. Mark chapter 4. Okay, Mark chapter 4, and Matthew chapter 13, and then there's a parallel passage. I'm not sure where in Luke, but where he talks about the seeds. You know, the parable of the seeds, you throw seeds out, and some seed falls on hard soil, and then Satan comes and he takes it away. Some falls on rocky soil, it grows up quickly, but then the pressures of life come and it takes it away. Then some grows among the weeds, and it grows up, but then it's choked out. Just the cares, the concerns, the desire for wealth, it says, it chokes it out. But then some seed, falls on good soil, and what's the return on it? What's it, 30, 60, and what? 100-fold. Why isn't it always 100-fold? Why isn't it always 100-fold? Well, it's like any truth. You get a level of truth, and then suddenly it has impact in your life, but then God gives you another level of that truth, and it has a deeper impact on your life. It begins to produce more, right? I mean, that's just, you just don't always get one thing, and then it's 100-fold. It's a progressive thing. But what about, why was it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they got it, and they were blessed like 100-fold? I mean, you say, well, God just blessed them. Well, no, it was something else. You see, here's what I want you to listen to me right here. Listen to me. There is a difference between understanding and believing. There is a difference between understanding and believing. I'm trying to make this distinction. God spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you mighty among the nations, and your descendants will be as broad as many as the stars in the skies of heaven. He told him that in Genesis, or something to that effect, in Genesis chapter 12. It wasn't until Genesis chapter 15 when God came to him again and said, I am going to bless you as the stars in the heaven, as you see, so will your descendants be. And it says, and Abraham believed him. And God counted to him righteousness. He said, you're righteous now. He understood in Genesis 12. He believed in Genesis 15. You see, you can understand a truth. You say, Pastor, I understand that. I got that. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I know I should have gone to hell. I know that. I understand that. But you haven't believed it yet. You haven't put your complete trust. You see, how do you get to 100-fold? How do you be good soil? Here it is. You are fully persuaded of the truth. You are fully persuaded. That's what faith is. Okay, faith, you can give a bunch of definitions for it. Faith means I am fully persuaded it's true. And I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. And God saw that with Abraham, and then suddenly God began to bless him. He began to multiply. Isaac the same way, Jacob the same way. They had encounters with God. God then multiplied because they believed. They were fully persuaded. Listen, when it comes to giving, our finances, we have to be fully persuaded of the truths I'm about to share with you. You got to be fully persuaded. You can't say, well, I understand. You got to believe. I'm fully persuaded these things are true. And here's the connection back to this weary and heavy lady. See, a lot of us, we work so we don't have to work. Right? I'm working now, so eventually I don't have to work anymore. Why can't you just work all your life? Because most of us don't really enjoy what we're doing. We're working so we can quit that and not work. Why can't we just be fruitful and enjoy everything all the time? And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's absolutely the way God wants it to be, where we are fruitful at every level of our lives. And so we see, and I believe this, when we become fully persuaded that God is going to bless me, He's going to take care of me, all of a sudden our giving takes on a new dimension, where we live in anticipation that God is going to be fruit. He's going to make me fruitful and He's going to multiply. In my life, I'm not going to be under this thing anymore. I'm actually going to enjoy life. And I'm going to enjoy what I have. Whether that's a whole lot or a whole little, whatever, I'm going to be able to get under that yoke and see that it is easy and it is light. And I have found what that third line says, I've found rest. So let's look at a few things here from Luke chapter 6, 38. All right, so that wasn't a part of anything right there. That was just preamble to the message, I guess, what we say, right? All right. Understanding the heart of Luke 6:38. Now, this is important. Everybody listen to me here. And look, it's kind of hot in here. Y'all hot? I am hot. I could tell y'all are getting kind of listless. So, yeah, we got fans going. People. So, you know how to turn that down? The lady who's never hot, she's going to turn. Luke 6:38. Let's look here at Luke 6:38. And most of you know this passage, and I'm just going to go ahead, go back. If you're taking notes, we'll go back. Maybe that's it right there. Nope. There we go. Understand the heart of Luke 6:38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. Now listen, last sentence. I want you to repeat it with me. I'll say it and then we'll repeat it. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Say that with me. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. The most common mistake about this verse is that preachers just talk about money on this. They say, well, that's about money. When you give, God says He's going to give it back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And that's how most pastors, most preachers talk about this passage. But if you look in the context, He's talking about everything in your life. Look up at verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Verse 37. Do not judge and others will not be, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you'll receive. Whatever you give, you get back. Amen? Yes. Come on. Amen? Amen? That's good news. Amen? Amen? And that is bad news. Amen? It can be real bad news. Because if you give love, if you give patience, if you give mercy, if you give joy, guess what you get back? Love, joy, patience. You get it all back. And you get a whole lot more than what you gave out. That's the way God does things. That's God's multiplication plan. You plant one seed, you plant one apple seed, and how many trees does one apple seed produce? One. Then what happens to that apple tree? It produces how many seeds? Millions. Millions. You give a little, God says, eventually I will give a lot. And some of it you experience in this life, and certainly you'll experience it all when we enter into the full abundance of life. That's the way it is. And so you give criticism, and guess what comes back on you? Criticism. You give judgment, and guess what you get? Praise God, you get judgment. Amen. You give anger, and guess what you get back? You get anger. And some of you are like, man, I don't know why in the world I have so many problems with people. I just don't understand. It just doesn't seem right. And yet you gripe at people and yell at people and cut them off and judge people and that kind of thing. And you wonder why you get judgment and criticism and anger thrown right back on you. Well, they just don't know my heart. Friend, whatever's coming out of your mouth is what's been in your heart, right? I mean, that's what Jesus said. It's going to come out. So it comes back on you double. The principle is you always get much more in return. And so this is what he's saying here with giving. When you give, whatever it is, whatever you give, you're going to get back a lot of. Now, as you see these two subpoints here, very first one is this. God doesn't want us to catch the vision of getting, though. He wants us to catch the vision of giving. I have a dear friend, I'm just talking about this passage in a more personal way. His mother, when he was, I guess, about 23, 25, something like that, his mother turned her back on him. Almost completely. Now, I've known this guy since seventh grade. This guy gives love and gives joy and gives hope and gives encouragement. But his mom said, I'm done with you. Now, it all goes back to the fact, I believe, because he continued to love his dad when his dad and his mom went through divorce. He lived with his mom, but he continued a conversation with his dad, and he continued the relationship, and that made her very upset to the point where she said, I'm done with you. You can't love him and love me. I'm done. He's my age now. Okay? So we're talking 30 years. He told me, he said, Scott, I haven't talked to my mom personally in about 7 years. He said, we go to family get-togethers, and we go to family funerals together, and every time I go to talk to her, she turns her back and walks away. So he gives, and see, that can be with you. Just like with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were blessed, but they went through some real hardship too. But let me tell you what the Lord did for him, or has done for him, is doing for him. He pastors a church up in Houston, and he told me, just as it was 2 weeks ago, he said, but Scott, you know what God's done? He said, there are three ladies in my church now that say, Johnny, we're your mama. We're your mama. He said, and every Sunday, those ladies stand around and they hug on me. He said, there's one. He says, if I don't come alongside her and put my arm around her and give her a big hug, she walks, she says, why haven't you hugged your mama today? You see, God makes sure, even if it may not be your natural, the natural way of say, the reciprocity, the thing coming back upon you, he'll make a way that you get something in return. It is the law of reciprocity. Say that with me. The law of, oh, very good. Okay, you got it. Reciprocal. It's reciprocal in nature. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 35 can be paraphrased this way. Listen to me. Give in reckless abandon, like your heavenly Father does. Give love, give forgiveness, give finances, give food, give clothing, give assistance, give mercy, give whatever else is needed in abundance, and then you are truly reflecting your heavenly Father's heart. And by the way, God will repay you generously for your generous spirit. This promise is not given to motivate us to give, but it's given to us to free us from the fear, from fear, and to show us the reward of giving. To free us. Okay, I'm going to give. He will make sure my needs are met. The second one is this, and that's heartfelt giving towards others. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15. Verses 4 through 15, it said, there should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession. So this is a promise from God. Right before they enter into the promised land, God says, I will bless you. I will greatly bless you in the land. You will receive this blessing if you are careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. He will lend money to many nations, but you will never need to borrow. I say, amen, Lord. I want to be the lender, not the borrower. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted. Don't be tight-fisted. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. And don't be mean-spirited. Don't refuse someone a loan because the year of canceling debts is close at hand. Every 7 years, they would cancel the debts. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with the other Israelites in need. And this is heartfelt giving towards others. That's what this thing is, just that you give generously to those in need. You know, I'm going to go out to eat Monday. I think I'm going to go out to eat Monday at lunch. And you know what? I'm probably going to need some money. Gene, would you mind giving me some money for that? Whatever you got in your wallet there, brother, just give all that right to me, okay? Whatever you got.
You can have it all.
Have it all? Why don't you count it out for me? What's in your wallet there, brother?
One.
One. Okay.
Two. Five is seven.
Seven. Seven.
Eight. Nine.
10,
11, 12, 13,
18.
18 bucks.
18 bucks. Appreciate it, man. All right. I'll be able to eat pretty good for lunch, you know. That's for lunch. Thank you. So you look at this passage and you see in John 15, you see, excuse me, I'm sorry. I meant Deuteronomy 15. I'm sorry. You look at this passage in Deuteronomy 15, and you see, he says, just bless God's heart. He says, look, I'm blessing you with this land. I'm blessing you with this land. You bless others freely. Just let it flow naturally out of you. Let there be no, don't you love it when your kids give freely? I mean, how many of you have, like, children, have children say, I don't know, under 12 that just freely gave to somebody, or just generously gave to somebody. I mean, didn't that make you feel good? I mean, we have a son. I'm not going to go into all the details. He's got a generous heart, a real generous heart. And one day he was approached, not too long ago, this son who has no money. And he gave generously to this person. You know, if he had, I'm not going to tell you how much he had, but let's say he had $250, he gave 240 of it away. More than that. What little he had, he gave. And it was just generous, because that's his nature. He sees people in need, and he just wants to give. And that blesses my heart. I mean, how many of you are blessed by your kids when they say, I'm not going to give that. Give that toy back. How many of you are so happy to say, how many would be happy to say or be proud to say, look at my son, he's so selfish. I'm so proud of him. He's the stingiest kid I know. Praise God for him. I mean, nobody would say that, right? See, we're blessed when our kids are generous, and our Heavenly Father is blessed when his kids are generous. Amen? As the saying goes, we're never more like God than when we give, and when we give generously. We must deal with the selfish, the grudging thoughts there in verse 7 of chapter 15. Selfishness whispers, you're not going to have enough. Grudging says, why did you do that? Selfishness kind of hits us on the front end. Don't do it, don't do it. Grudging says, why did you get that much? You shouldn't have done it. And God addresses these thoughts in verse 7. He says, but if there's any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land, the Lord your God is giving you. Say that with me. The Lord your God is giving you. Is doing what? Is giving you. He gave them the land. Not only did he give them the land, it wasn't like a land that was empty. It was land filled with towns. He gave them those towns. And not only did he give them those towns, but he gave them the crops that were in the fields and the cattle that were outside in the fields as well. He gave them all those things. He said, that's yours. I'm giving it to you. You didn't do anything for it. So be generous. I gave it to you. You give to those in need. Gene gave me $18 to go eat lunch. You know why it was so easy for Gene to give me $18? Because it was always my money. I gave him my money to give me. And it's easy to give stuff away when it isn't yours. Amen? Maybe some of you have had that experience with your kids, you know, giving away stuff. Your stuff. And it's easy to give as well when we know it all comes from him. I don't own it. I'm just simply a conduit of it. Now listen, let me tell you this. In verses 13 through 15, he goes on to say, when you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Give him a generous farewell gift. Give him a gift from your flock. Give him a gift from your threshing floor. Give him a gift from your wine press. Share with him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were once slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. And that is why I'm giving you this command. Let it just flow out of you. Be a liberal. Amen? You turn around and tell somebody that right now. Right now. Some of you are like, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to say the L word. I mean, honestly, some of you are like, no way. That is a cuss word in my house. I'm not saying that. But it is good to be a liberal when it comes to giving. Amen. It is good to be a liberal, to be a liberal giver. He says, you, this male servant of yours, don't just say, appreciate what you did. Thank you for your service. He says, no, you laid him down with your wealth because I have blessed you. I redeemed you. And therefore, I've been liberal to you. You be liberal to others. One of the deepest places which liberal giving springs from, you know where liberal giving comes out of, where it emanates from. Let me tell you where it comes from. A grateful heart. When you're grateful, you get liberal. Sean Acor did a study. He's a Harvard professor. Maybe some of you have heard his TED talk. It's a great TED talk. It's just very biblical, though he's not necessarily come from a biblical background. But he said it was a talk on happiness, how to become a happy person, how to move out of depression or low places into happiness. He said there are two key things you got to do. Number one, be grateful. Show gratitude. He encourages you to write it down three times a day. Three things you're grateful for every day. Write something down. But I say gratitude. Listen, we got so much to be grateful for. Amen? We have so much to be grateful for. I mean, think of what life would be like if we didn't have Jesus. Some people say, well, I guess I would go to church. I guess that'd be about it, right? No. There's so much. Listen, our economic system, our health care, our government, human rights, education. Friend, where do you think all that stuff comes from? I mean, the Western culture, most of it comes out of here, from Jesus. I'm not saying the bureaucracy and stuff. I'm just talking about just the foundational teachings and stuff. It comes straight from here. We have so much to be grateful for. One more thing and I'm done. Let me tell you a story. Anybody remember Jimmy Burris? Jimmy Burris, come on. Y'all, some of y'all, yes, Gail, remember Jimmy? Thing I appreciate about Jimmy the most, you talk to Jimmy anytime. Jimmy was a giver. He was a giver. He gave faithfully to this church, but he would give to others just indiscriminately. And he was always the most faithful, probably the most faithful person that would give to the food basket. He'd always bring food up nearly every week he was here. Many weeks he would bring food up. He was always giving away. And he said, why was he that way? I'll tell you why. He was incredibly grateful about what God had done in his life and how God had saved him out of a life of sin. and it reflected in his giving. One more thing, and we're done. Okay. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is kind of the parallel passage to Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15, Genesis, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All right, begin with verse 6. Remember this, and let me give you the context. Paul is taking up a special offering for the church at Jerusalem. They're under terrible persecution. So he goes to the church at Corinth and he says, look, I'm taking up this offering to help out kind of our forefathers in the faith. Would you consider giving? And then he goes on to say, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. I mean, that sounds a whole lot like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, right? Give and it will be given to you. Whatever it is, give a little, you get a little. He says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat it. And in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. When you give, have a cheerful heart. Does giving bring a smile to your face? It ought to. Now, frankly, there are a lot of different ways you can give literally at our church. You can give cash, offering. You can give a check. You can go to the website and give through the donation link, debit card or credit card. And then you can also give, of course, through your bank. And so the way I give is I give through the bank. So when I'm paid, I send in the tithe. Here's the problem with doing it that way, and I'm not against it because that's the way I do it. It's just simpler that way. It just becomes part of life. You forget the joy in giving. And there ought to be a pause, however you give, through the donation link, through your bank, there ought to be a pause where you smile and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I give this. You have been generous to me. I don't want to be a reservoir. I want to be a river. Amen? Amen. A reservoir does what? Just holds water, right? But a river does what? Pours it out. It pours out. I don't want to be a reservoir. I want to be a river. God, thank you. This cheerfulness is related to stewardship in that you see yourself as a conduit of God's blessing rather than a reservoir of wealth. Robert Morris tells a story. Robert Morris, a pastor of Gateway Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, author of the book, The Blessed Life, which again is a great book. I encourage you to get it. But he tells a story in The Blessed Life about how God was using him in about a two-year period of time, I'm not sure the exact, but a short period of time, to be a conduit, be a river of giving cars to other people for transportation. Somebody would give him a car, and then he would just give it away. He was just, man, it was great. It's a great season in his life. He was just being that river. Thank you, Lord, giving me this opportunity. He was so grateful until one day, the guy gave him a car. He said, okay, you know, you do what you want with it, Robert. And Robert said, I appreciate it. Robert was driving it around, and the engine went out. And then he was hacked off. I can't believe this. And he was kind of put out at God. God, why did you allow this to happen? And the Holy Spirit shot back. He said, well, the person that owned the car couldn't put a new engine in it. And the person you're going to give the car to can't put a new engine in it. Son, I've blessed you, and you can put a new engine in it. And he kind of still was complaining, wasn't very cheerful about it. And the Holy Spirit kind of convicted him again and said, son, listen, if you don't want to be a river and give these blessings to other people, I can give this to somebody else. He said, oh, no. And he got cheerful, you know. Have a cheerful heart. Having a cheerful heart has its foundation in verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. How is that foundation? Here's how it's the foundation, because those of you who give, those of you who tithe, those of you who just plant seeds, those of you who do that in a generous way, you know that you know that you know that God will take care of you.
Amen.
You know it. You know it. You know it during those lean times, those hard times where you didn't have anything. It looked like, oh, how are we going to make this happen? But you went ahead and planted those seeds, and God came through and took care of you in a tremendous way. You say, okay, all right, I saw it then. You know that you know that you know, because He's always been faithful to provide in the end for you. This assurance comes through the battlefield of doubt, misplaced expectations, and hard times. You go through thin times, bountiful times, and you learn that through them all, God always supplies. Amen. Let me just give you one more thing, and I'm done. Not a point, but just something for you that are learning how to give. This whole thing about planting seeds. If you don't plant a seed, you're not going to get anything in return. So some of you don't tithe. And by the way, I don't know what anybody gives, okay? I want those who are new to the church, I don't know. So I don't look at your giving record. I would encourage you, if you're not tithing, is to work towards, and you can't begin necessarily tithing, work towards a tithe. Don't let that be the end mark, but let that be a goal. But begin now by sowing some seeds, okay? Some seeds. Because you're not going to get anything. You're not going to see the answer to this. You're not going to see God come through in tough times or just come through in some amazing ways in your life until you start planting. And here's what the two things you do. You give a percentage, and you give as often as you're paid. Let that be the criteria. I'm going to begin giving a percentage, whatever it is, and I'm going to begin giving when I'm paid. And I'm going to sow these seeds and then write it down. Hey, I sowed, 2%. Sowed 2%, Lord, and I'm sowing it for whatever it is you're looking to God to do. Write it down and begin to see what God does. He will enjoy. He says, I will. I'll do it. Even if you sow a little seed, you'll get some in return. You will. I'll give you a bit. But to encourage you to keep moving ahead on this thing, and you will be blessed. Amen. Let's stand together. Would you bow your heads with me? We've had the Lord's Supper today. We've had this special holiday, or not holiday, but just special celebration of Valentine's Day. St. Valentine. I should have talked about him, because St. Valentine, he was a giver. Man, he just gave and gave and gave to people. And that's why we have Valentine's Day. So, Lord, we thank you for that example of this man who just gave to others indiscriminately. And I pray that we would become that way as well. There may be somebody here today. In fact, I know there's somebody here today that you've not yet given your heart to God. You've not yet placed your trust in Him. You're the person who understands that Jesus died on the cross, but you haven't come to believe, truly be persuaded. But today you want to step across that line of faith. Today you truly want to believe, and you want to have all of your faith in Him. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart as I pray it out loud. It's a prayer of acknowledging your sin and making Jesus, the Lord, the boss of your life, giving Him everything. Say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from you, and I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you that you took my sin and have given me your life. And today I trust in you. I believe that you were raised from the dead, and today I confess you as my King. I follow you, and I follow you completely. If you just pray that prayer for the first time, in a moment my wife and I are going to be out in the atrium. If you just pray that prayer for the first time today, would you stop by and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. You need to confess to somebody today that today you crossed that line of faith. Today you entered into that love relationship with Jesus. For the rest of you, let me ask you, what is your heart life? Your heart like when it comes to giving? Do you give bountifully? Do you give freely? Do you give cheerfully? How is your heart? Is it greedy? Is it guarded? Or is it generous? Oh God, make our hearts like your heart. Change our mindset so that we are able to be liberal givers, so that we can sow much good. And Lord, we know that in time we will reap much good. We thank you for these promises in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Let me speak a blessing over you. And if you are visiting with us here today for the first time, I'll be out in the atrium with Stephanie and we'd love to meet you. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you this week. Amen.